The scripture reading is from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 18. Ezekiel 18, beginning in verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, What mean ye, that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, saith the Lord God, ye shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But if a man be just, and do that which is lawful and right, and hath not eaten upon the mountains, nor hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither hath defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath come near to a menstruous woman, and hath not oppressed any, but hath restored to the debtor his pledge, hath spoiled none by violence, hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment. He that hath not given forth upon usury, neither hath taken any increase, that hath withdrawn his hand from iniquity, hath executed true judgment between man and man, hath walked in my statutes, and hath kept my judgments to deal truly, he is just, he shall surely live, saith the Lord God. If he beget a son that is a robber, a shedder of blood, and that doeth the like to any one of these things, and that doeth not any of those duties, but even hath eaten upon the mountains, and defiled his neighbor's wife, hath oppressed the poor and needy, hath spoiled by violence, hath not restored the pledge, and hath lifted up his eyes to the idols, hath committed abomination, hath given forth upon usury, and hath taken increase, shall he then live? He shall not live. He hath done all these abominations, he shall surely die, his blood shall be upon him. Now lo, if he beget a son that seeth all his father's sins which he hath done, and considereth and doeth not such like, that hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, hath not defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath oppressed any, hath not withholden the pledge, neither hath spoiled by violence, but hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment, that hath taken off his hand from the poor, that hath not received usury nor increase, hath executed my judgments, hath walked in my statutes, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father, he shall surely live. As for his father, because he cruelly oppressed, spoiled his brother by violence, and did that which is not good among his people, lo, even he shall die in his iniquity. Yet, say ye, why doth not the son bear the iniquity of the father? When the son hath done that which is lawful and right, and hath kept all my statutes, and hath done them, he shall surely live. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness, and committeth iniquity, and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. Now hear, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness, and committeth iniquity, and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done, he shall die. Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed, and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive, because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Yet saith the house of Israel, the way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves, and ye live. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Then let us turn to the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 5. The first Lord's Day on this second section of man's deliverance. Lord's Day 5, question 12. Since then, by the righteous judgment of God, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment, is there no way by which we may escape that punishment and be again received into favor? Answer. God will have his justice satisfied, and therefore we must make this full satisfaction, either by ourselves or by another. Question 13. Can we ourselves then make this satisfaction? Answer. By no means, but on the contrary, we daily increase our debt. Question 14. Can there be found anywhere one who is a mere creature, able to satisfy for us? Answer, none. For first, God will not punish any other creature for the sin which man hath committed. And further, no mere creature can sustain the burden of God's eternal wrath against sin so as to deliver others from it. Question 15. What sort of a mediator and deliverer then must we seek for? Answer. One who is very man and perfectly righteous and yet more powerful than all creatures, that is, one who is also very God.
Dear congregation, with the help of the Lord, we want to preach the gospel to you according you find in Lord's Day 5. And tonight we speak about question 14. Question 14. Can there be found anywhere one who is a mere creature able to satisfy for us? None. For first, God will not punish any other creature for the sin which man has committed. And further, no mere creature can sustain the burden of God's eternal wrath against sin, so as to deliver others from it. We write above the sermon of this night, who is able to satisfy for my sins? Who is able to satisfy for my sins? That must be our question, isn't it? That we find the person
who is able to satisfy God, the holy, eternal God, fully, perfectly.
And when you think that's not important, then you shall realize at the end how superficially and foolish you lived when it's too late. And therefore we must consider, and it must go deep in our heart and life and change us, who is able to satisfy for my sin? We must have a clear insight and answer on that question. And then in the first place, we see who not. Can there be found anywhere one who is a mere creature? By nature, we very easily arrest and flee and trust in creatures.
That's our fallen nature.
In the Dutch, there is a verb which says, nobody knows me, yeah, somebody knows this, Dutch. God is best, maar wij houden hem voor het lest. God is well, best, good, but we keep him for the last. He's the last one to which we go, by nature. That must change. We must lose our trust in any creature.
Who not? That's the first thought. The second one, why not? And then our catechism teaches us two reasons. God will not punish any other creature for the sin which man has committed. And in the second place, no mere creature can sustain the burden of God's eternal wrath against sin so as to deliver others from it.
And my young people, you expect it already. What is our third thought? Third point. Who can? Who can and who is able to satisfy for your sins? My dear children, for you another time. Who is able to satisfy for my sins? Who not? Why not? Who can? Dear congregation, do you know how the apostles preached? That's very important as preachers. Paul says, be my follower, as I am of Jesus Christ. Well, I can show it to you. In Acts 24, verse 25, we read that the Apostle Paul, when he was standing before Felix, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Let it go into our hearts. Righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. We all are involved in it. We all are on the way to our last day, the day of judgment. It can happen today. It can happen this very night that we stand before God. How weak are we? One heartbeat between the Lord, between us and the judgment throne of God. 1 second. when we are together here, 40 minutes, thousands of people went to the Lord, appeared before Him, judgment. So that was the main thing in the preaching of the apostle. He reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. And then we read, and as he reasoned, Felix trembled. He was impressed. That heathen, that hard man, that cruel man, that godless man, that worldly man, he trembled. So powerful was the preaching of the Apostle Paul. Did you ever tremble? You hear about God's righteousness? And you hear about a judgment to come? Did you ever tremble, children? My young people, did you ever tremble when you thought, think at a day of judgment? The Lord knows how you receive this. You will know it. You heard it. But even Felix, he trembled. That's not enough, of course. And that's not the root of true faith by which we are saved. I know. Fear. And what he is doing. And answered, go thy way, for it is time. Then I have a convenient season. I will call for thee. He didn't like to hear that message. Go away for this time. It touched me. It impressed me. Take away my rest. I cannot enjoy my life. I cannot enjoy my pleasures and entertainment when I hear you. Away. That's very understandable, isn't it? Maybe you have sometimes the same feeling. Pastor, again, judgment. Eternity. I don't like to hear that all the time. Tell me other things. I want to hear about love. I want to hear about joy. Then I'm encouraged. And then you are deceived. Deceived by the devil, who changed himself into an angel of light. Then you don't like to hear about judgment. Then you don't like to hear about righteousness. Then you are deceived. Our catechism is according to the word or teaching us about righteousness. Who is able to satisfy for my sins? And then that never became the question of your heart. And then you never realized that you needed full, perfect satisfaction. Then you are deceived. And you deceive yourself. And that's very understandable. That's very natural. The reaction of Felix is the reaction of every natural man. Sometimes you can tremble. Sometimes you can be in fear. And you hear such serious things. But you try to throw it away. To forget it. I cannot live with it. I'm young. I will enjoy my life. You will enjoy your life when your sins are forgiven. When you have true peace with God. When you have a living hope which never makes ashamed. then you will enjoy your life. Then you will enjoy better things than thousand worlds can give you, my young people. And I hope and pray so much for you that you may see that. Seek the Lord. The Lord has no pleasure, we read it, in our death, but in our life, in our conversion. That's so encouraging. Therefore, we are here tonight. It's not by chance. It's God's living providence, God's way in your life, that you were allowed to come here to hear what you need. Not to hear what you like, but to hear what you need. Who is able to satisfy for my sins? Do you sometimes, or maybe often, think at a day that you die? I mentioned this morning my talk with a prisoner last week. A young man of 23 years old. And he said very serious to me, "Pastor, what happens with me when I die? I'm so often thinking about the day of my death." I was surprised that such a young man was involved with such a deep truth. What happens with me? Then I go to the judgment throne of God. The judgment throne is waiting me. Judgment to come quickly, very soon. Our life here is a sigh. It's nearly nothing. We are on the way to eternity. Do you think about it? How? With fear or with hope? It's not bad to have fear. It's more bad to be hard and hardened, to hear it, to know it, and to throw it away. That's really dangerous. That's eternal dangerous. Then you are gathering yourself a treasure of sin, and then you will be lost at the end. Too late. I think one of the things in hell which make hell so bad is this word: too late. I heard it. I knew it. I was often warned by my parents, by my pastor. I didn't listen. And now it is too late. That will be terrible. And therefore, now the word of God is sounding here so powerfully. Repent. Turn to the Lord. Now it is the time of grace. But soon there shall be a time that there is no grace. That there is only righteousness. Who is able to satisfy for my sins? How shall you flee the coming wrath? How shall you escape hell? How shall you come to eternal glory? Are there the questions of your life, of your soul? Is that a prayer of your heart? For it must be true. We are warned in the Bible so often that not a few, but a crowd, a large number of people who expect to inherit eternal life shall end in eternal fire. Many shall say in the day, says the Lord, "Lord, we prophesied That was our satisfaction. We were satisfied. For we had some gifts of the Spirit. And on that gifts, what we did, we prophesied. We did miracles. That was our satisfaction. Vain. It's no satisfaction. That's what you feel. And God makes you honest. When this question is written by the Holy Spirit in your heart, then you feel, I must have real satisfaction, with which I can stand before God on that great day of judgment. Who can satisfy for my poor soul and my lost life? And then the question is, can there be found anywhere one who is a mere creature? And then the answer is very short and sharp and powerful. None. None. You feel it. We are by nature so inclined to build on a creature. In the first place, to build ourselves. On ourselves. To trust in ourselves. All the religions of the world are the same. Basically. They all build up their own righteousness before God. Lord, I shall pay. I shall do my best. I will give my life. No. What you give, what you do, shall not be any satisfaction. Maybe some of you know it out of their own experience. That when you felt in your conscience, in your heart, something of the reality of the anger, the wrath of God against your sin. Maybe there are among us who had a time in their life that eternity became reality. And that they felt something of that enormous burden to be lost for all eternity. And then you try to flee the coming wrath. You turned, you changed. You try to better your life. That's what I often hear also in prison and jail. I try to become a better person. And that's nice. But it doesn't work. As long as you try to become a better person, yeah, you have hope. It shall become better in your life. There are people, so among us maybe, who hope, maybe there comes a time that I really believe, that I know that I'm saved. Maybe. I'm not sure. Not now. But maybe later on. Then I have hope. A vain hope. Why not now? Now the Lord is calling you. Now Christ is offered to you. Now Christ is preached to you. Why not now? Yeah, I do my best. I pray. I go to the church. I read the word. Now what can I do more? Maybe the Lord shall be merciful. And deep in our heart, we have the wrong feeling that we a little bit can satisfy God with our life. You know, the whole system in the Roman Catholic Church is based on good works. By our good works, we can satisfy God. But we are all Roman Catholic. by nature. We have all the same evil heart. We have all the same foolish idea. Only when the Holy Spirit is cutting off of all our possibilities in righteousness, and we see what we are, a lost sinner, only a sinner, 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 on the way to eternal death. Nobody can save us. When we see that we only can produce sin and nothing more, never more, that there is nothing in us by which we can please and satisfy God, totally impossible. That's what we need to see. Otherwise we trust in a creature, in what we are, in what we do. Lord, be patient. I will pay everything, said a man in the parable. Be patient. I will pay everything. Who is able to satisfy for my sins? Not a mere creature. Not I myself. Not by my money. I say, of course not. How can we satisfy the Lord by our money? Well, a lot of people, and not only in the Roman Catholic Church, you know, it's in the system of the Church that you can satisfy God in some measure by paying a lot of money. That you can have an influence on the situation of they who passed away by paying a lot of money. So it's in human nature. But how many Protestant people have deeply in their heart, and they give a lot to the Church, to God's service, to the mission? Did you never discover it in your evil, deceitful heart? That it gives you a good feeling? You give a lot? And your gifts are cursed. Cursed? Your gifts are sins. Sins? Yes. Did you never see that? All what is not out of faith is sin. And what is faith? Seeking your righteousness in Christ only, living out of Christ's merits, nothing more, nothing else, that's faith. The righteous shall live by faith. But as long as we don't live by faith, all that we do, our best works, our sins, all our gifts, all what we do, sin. I speak about your best words. Sins. Cannot satisfy. We read from the true believers that their works follow them after. They follow. First faith, first Christ. And then the works follow, of course. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, we only provoke God. Without faith, we only increase our debt. That's what we must see very, very clear. There's only one source of righteousness, and that's Christ. Perfect righteousness. That's what I need when I die. Then I stand before the judgment throne of God. Then I must have a full satisfaction. A perfect satisfaction. That's what I need. Anything else is done. And yet people, it's in our nature, thought it in course of history, that they could satisfy the Lord by their gifts and by their sacrifices. Some people sacrificed even their own life and considered that sacrifice as a satisfaction, a work by which the Lord is pleased, to give yourself, to become a martyr for your faith. Is that not wonderful? No. No. The Muslims do the same.
Hundreds, thousands of young boys went in the Iranian war to the guns of the Iraqs. For they were martyrs. They went straight away to the Muslim heaven. And for a Christian, it should be in hell. And heaven with beautiful women and all kind of worldly pleasures. That's what the devil makes for the Muslims, to deceive them. And young boys, 16, 17 years, they went with gladness. And you, we offer our life. How foolish is man, also religious man. If I gave my body to be burned, and I had not charity, had no value. Charity, righteousness, the law of Christ, the righteousness of Christ. How many people trusted in the sacrifices? You know, my dear children, that the Old Testament is full of sacrifices of animals. That a stream of blood is flowing through the history of the Old Testament times. And how many people put their trust in the sacrifice of an animal and never saw that it is not a sacrifice at all. Only an example of the sacrifice of Christ, the full righteousness of Christ. Only the true believers saw it. Abram, Isaac, Jacob, and so on. They saw from far Christ in all the sacrifices. They embraced him, his full, perfect satisfaction. Did you do the same? Embrace Christ in his full satisfaction? That's what you need. Otherwise, you shall deceive yourself. A lot of people put their trust in creatures, in holy men. You know, in the Roman Catholic system, has a big place, the Pope, the man who is ruling the church instead of Christ, who forgives sins, who has the keys of heaven, who closes and opens, who has the authority, he think, to declare a man or a woman to be a saint, and then you can pray to that saint. Also, when he or she has died, and he will make intercession for you. The whole Roman Catholic system is full of it. Trusting on man, on creatures. The Holy Mary, the Holy Peter. Yeah, Pastor, but we are not Roman Catholic. We know better. Is that true? Did you really see that the best of man, the best, is only a poor, poor sinner? Did you lose already all your trust in man or yourself in the first place? And that's hard. But also, in our circles, very easy people trust in pastors. Pastor, do you want to pray for me? Oh, yes. But is my prayer more powerful, acceptable for the Lord than yours? Do you ask that because you have a special trust in your pastor? Then he is a kind of saint. And you are cursed. For the Bible says very clearly, cursed is the man who puts his trust in any man. Blessed is the man who put all his trust in the Lord alone. Not in any man.
Sometimes we consider people as true children of God. We have them in high esteem, and of course, we may love them, but not trust in them, not build on them. And then you see often that the Lord permits in His holy wise providence that even such people in high esteem fall very deep. Never, never trust in any man. No mere creature can ever satisfy. Not angels. Only man. There are two reasons. Why not? That's our second thought. Well, two reasons. The soul that sinneth shall die. That's what you read from Ezekiel 18. God will not punish any other creature for the sin which man has committed. I'm a man. I belong to the race of Adam. I must be in a full satisfaction. And I stand before the Lord. And no other creature can make that satisfaction. Only man. Did you see that? Child of Adam. Belonging to the race of Adam. Belonging to that bad tree, which brings forth bad fruits. And you know, every tree who brings not forth good fruits shall be cut off and thrown in fire. And now there is the tree of life. And we must be cut off of Adam and implanted in Christ, the tree of life. Having His righteousness, the full righteousness, not my own. Having a full satisfaction. Bearing fruit out of Him. The fruits of true love. The fruits of the Spirit. By which we do not satisfy. For satisfaction is out of sight. Out of our possibilities. Satisfaction is outside us. Perfectly in Christ only. And then we trust in Him. And belong to Him. The tree of life. Eat of that tree. This is my body. Which has been broken for all your sins. This is my blood. Which has been shed. For all your sins. Full satisfaction. Did you eat it? Did you enjoy it? Peace with God, by our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that's the root of the matter. That's so wonderful. That cannot be compared with anything else. To eat the bread of life. Man must satisfy. And this man, he did. The first reason is, man has sinned. Man must satisfy. I must satisfy. I must be in a full satisfaction. Then I stand before the Lord. And otherwise, I shall be lost.
And who can bear the burden of God's eternal wrath? That's the second reason. No mere creature can sustain the burden of God's eternal wrath against sin. My dear friends, were your sins ever a burden for you? Be honest. Had there been times in your life that your sins became an unbearable burden. Unbearable. It's so bad when we know to be a sinner and never really feel it. It's so bad when we acknowledge I'm a sinner and never felt the burden of it. My dear children, you know, I suppose, that beautiful book, one of the most beautiful Christian books ever written, I think, The Pilgrim's Progress. And that Christian was wandering outside the town of destruction with that burden, such a heavy burden, on his back. That many people in the course of his way asked him, throw away that burden. But he said, I can't. I cannot. Such a heavy burden. You read that in the Word, isn't it? That when the children of God were convicted of their sins, that they felt the burden of their sins. That they felt a little bit, only a little bit. And that little is so heavy when something of the reality of the eternal wrath against my sin, the eternal wrath of God, is burning in my heart. There are no words to express that. When the Lord Jesus suffered the eternal wrath of God against our sins, He sweated blood, whole his body covered with sweat, with blood. Who can express the burden of that angel? And when you feel something of it, read Psalm 38, read Psalm 90, read there the witness of God's true people, when they were convicted of their sins and felt a little drop of that ocean, how what it felt. And then you realize it's impossible. It's impossible. No mere creature can sustain the burden of God's eternal wrath. I cannot. I cannot satisfy God. I cannot bear that punishment. And it's not possible. For this punishment is an eternal punishment. There is no satisfaction into all eternity. Then we must do it ourselves. A mere sinful creature. There is no satisfaction. There's only eternal wrath. Our God is a consuming fire. And that are the things which the Holy Spirit teaches us on the way of salvation. So that we lose all our expectation, all our own righteousness. And nothing is left than a poor, cursed sinner, held worthy. O Lord, teach us. Who is able to satisfy? I never. Into all eternity not. Therefore I need another one. Who can satisfy? Who is able to satisfy for my sins? And it must be come and grow deeper in our heart. No creature, no mere creature, no sinful creature, not I, not anybody else, anything else, no hope at all. And then we sung it so beautiful, from sin and evil, mighty though they seem, his arm almighty will his saints redeem. God's right hand. You remember the sermon of this morning? The mighty hand of the Lord, God's right hand, the power of God. Father, I come to do thy will. And Christ, he made a full satisfaction. And that's what we need to know, Christ. That must be our continuing prayer. Lord, show me myself. And show me Christ, his beauty, his fullness, his glory. And the Holy Spirit shows us Christ in his human nature. Real man. Oh, and the Lord, open your eyes for his humanity. He comes so close to you. He is the same, flesh and blood. He knows and understands us totally. Fully man, except sin. All human feelings, all human cares, all human needs, he totally and fully felt and understands. And the Holy Spirit reveals Christ in our heart. And we see him, full man, a sinless man, a righteous man, a perfect man. He can satisfy. And at the same time, Christ is fully God. And that's a revelation too. A revelation of the Holy Spirit. When we are filled with the divine glory and the divine beauty. Thou of Christ, thou art the Son of the living God. Did you ever see him? The blind born man, you know, he couldn't see. Not see any man. Not see any tree. Not see the sky. And then the Lord Jesus opened his eyes. And then he was rejected by the people, the religious people, full of self-righteousness. Self-righteousness makes a man religious, proud, high. And God's Spirit makes us really humble, nothing. And as long as we are proud, we can easily reject other people, despise other people. But when we feel what we are and what we deserve, we cannot. Well, that blind-born man, he was found by Jesus again. And then the Lord Jesus asked him, you know the story, my children. Do you believe in the Son of God? And he honestly said, Lord, who is he that I may believe? There was by grace a desire. But his eyes were still closed for the divine glory of the Son of God. And then the Lord said, it is me. I am it. And then his eyes were opened again. Far more beautiful. Saving. I believe. And he worshipped him. He saw the divine glory and beauty of the Savior. And then that wonderful unity, hidden for the wise and prudent, revealed to the babes. God manifested in the flesh. The mystery of godliness is great. And true man, with divine power, with divine value, with divine beauty, in unity of one person. It's hidden, I know. It's revealed. And we need the revelation. It pleased the Lord to reveal his Son in me. But when our eyes see that King, who is able, who did it,
when he in our nature hang on the cross, then the fullness of eternal wrath, divine wrath against our sins, came upon him in the garden,
on the cross, and he fully paid. Fully paid. Nothing, not one sin left. There is a full satisfaction, sinner.
Only in and by Christ. And how can I receive and share in that satisfaction?
Is that the hunger of your heart? Is that really the only thing in your life? For nothing can be compared with that question. All things are not important.
And when you are on the way to life, you feel that. I need that full satisfaction. I need Christ for my poor lost soul. Give me Jesus or I die.
Christ is freely offered in the gospel. And blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. That is that full satisfaction. And that's offered to you in Christ.
By Christ, come unto me, all you are burdened and heavy laden. I will give you rest.
There are people here who received it. Rest. In a real and full trust in Christ only, that the burden fall away, that the peace came in your soul, and that you felt by grace the nearness and the love of God for Christ's sake only, because Christ took away all your sins and now you are free,
eternally free. When the Son has made you free, you are free.
Oh, sure. We can have many temptations. It can be dark in our soul. Sometimes we are not in the light. But always is our soul creeping to the cross.
Cleaving to the cross.
Because we know by grace our only hope,
our only satisfaction is in Christ only.
And the more we trust in him, the more we have peace. You can die today if Christ is your satisfaction. Then you can die today. And then you have moments, the best moments of your life, that you wish to die. And that full satisfaction is given unto you, applied to you. And you receive it in your own soul, that treasure of eternal righteousness, that treasure of eternal love. Then you are the most happy and the most rich man or child in the world. The Lord makes his people so happy. His full satisfaction, not only for others, also for me. Nothing in this world can be compared with the righteousness of Christ applied to your heart by the Holy Spirit, by which you enjoy peace with God and a living hope on eternal life, by which your life is Christ and your dying gain. Oh, seek the Lord Jesus.
Trust in him. Follow him. Follow the Lamb. Look unto Jesus. And looking unto him, you shall have hope. You shall have peace. You shall have life. I give my sheep eternal life. Full satisfaction in our blessed Savior. Yes, he can. He will. And he do it. For near grace, out of the fullness of God's eternal love, for the chief of sinners. Amen. Let us pray and thank now.
dear Lord, what a goodness and what a fullness is there in Thee. Give us eyes to see it. Fill our hearts with the satisfaction of Christ, with the love of Christ, with the peace through Christ. My peace I give unto you. My peace I leave unto you. Not as the world give it. I give it unto you. That's Thy promise, O blessed Savior. Thou art the living Savior. And Lord, give us all the grace to see Thy beauty, to trust in Thee, to receive Thy full satisfaction for our own soul, offered to us in the Gospel, that we shall not reject it by our unbelief. For that's the biggest, most horrible sin in human life. But Thou art stronger even than our unbelief. Holy Spirit, work mightily in the hearts of each of us. Let this Thy holy word be an eternal blessing for each of us, and not being a witness against anybody of us in the great day of judgment. Lord, be with us in the coming week. Help us in our daily work, in our weakness, in our fears. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And give us grace to live close to Thee, to trust in Thy full satisfaction, to be in peace with Thee, and to be a witness and a blessing for other ones. Lord, be with us when we come together with our young people. Work mightily in their hearts, so that the upgrowing generation may know the answer. My only satisfaction is in Christ, my only hope in Him, Christ in me, and I in Him. O Lord, what an eternal grace and richness when that is true, when we are young. O Lord, pardon all our sins in speaking and listening. Bring us safely home and make us all ready for our eternal home. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.